I'd ask you to turn, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Just continuing on the thought of prayer. John chapter 14. And verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in me, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Over, please, to chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared, or made known unto them, thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, the Lord would bless to us these most precious readings from his holy word. John chapter 14 and John chapter 17 are really parallel passages. In John chapter 14, the Lord is indicating to his beloved disciples that he is about to leave them and go to heaven. In John's Gospel chapter 17, as the Lord Jesus is praying, he is mentioning to the Father, he says, "Now come I to thee." He is going to be leaving his disciples and he is going back to heaven. The subject matter of John chapter 14 is all about working the works of God. The subject matter of John's Gospel chapter 17 is about glorifying the Father. Now, in John's Gospel chapter 14, we discover that while the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he worked out the works of his Father. And in John's Gospel chapter 17, we discover that while the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he glorified the Father. So then, as we look at both these ideas in parallel, the Lord Jesus on earth, he fully worked out the works of the Father. So what people saw him doing, that was exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He did what the Father asked him to do. He did those things which he had seen of the Father. He spake those things which he had heard of the Father, so that it could be said of him, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He was truly working out the works of the Father while he was on earth. Now similarly, while the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, in John's Gospel chapter 17 we discover that he was glorifying the Father while he was upon earth. He said, "I have," verse 4, "glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So he glorified the Father. And in what sense did he glorify the Father? Well, he glorified the Father in this sense, that he made the Father known to men. All that the Father is, all the wonder of the Father, he fully told him forth. In every word which he spake, every act which he did, everything which concerned the person of our Lord Jesus, he showed forth the glory of the Father. He glorified the Father. He made the Father known. Now this is most important. He made the Father known. So says the Lord Jesus, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." So as the Lord Jesus Christ made the Father known, people who listened to the Lord Jesus and who believed in him, they received eternal life. Now what is eternal life? Remember what the Lord Jesus was doing? He was making the Father known to men, making the Father known to his own. And those who accepted him, they received eternal life. And what is it? This is eternal life. Have you got it? To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John chapter 17 is not a collection of verses which are haphazardly put there. Every verse leads on to the next verse. This is a set order to the whole passage. So in John 17, he made known the Father, and that was eternal life to those who received him. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We indicated in our Bible reading this morning from the parable of the pounds yonder in Luke's Gospel chapter 18, that the man there who did not know God, he thought God was an austere man. He didn't know him. And we have the same passage in Matthew's Gospel as well, the talents. This man, he didn't know God, and he hid his talent, he hid his pound. What was the idea? He thought God was an austere man. He was a natural man, just as he was born into this world. He didn't know him. Can I tell you something? When we received eternal life, we came to know him. In all the loving kindness of the God of heaven, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, for the first time we came to know him. This is eternal life. To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And the Lord Jesus glorified the Father. He made him known to his own. But now he was going back to heaven. And in verse 5 he says, "Now, O Father," he says, "glorify thou me." Now what does that mean? He was indicating to the Father that the time had now come for him to return to heaven whence he came. Now he says, "Glorify thou me," he says, "with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Now, what did this mean? Here's the Lord Jesus on earth, praying to the Father. Now the Lord is indicating that the Father is about to glorify him. And how would that happen? When he would ascend right to God's right hand, and seated there on the throne at God's right hand, this was going to be the proof that God was satisfied with him, with all that he had accomplished, and that God had glorified him. God had proved, God had made known now, through the resurrection and exaltation of his Son, God had made known, publicly declared, to be the Son of God with power, through the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, and by his ascension and glorification to God's right hand, God had indicated to a wondering universe that this one who is rejected by men, he is sitting now on the pinnacle of glory. What a wonderful declaration and demonstration of the person of Christ. Now, the point is this. While on earth the Lord Jesus glorified the Father, he made him known. While on earth in John 14, he did the works of the Father. Fully in detail he did them. But now he's going to heaven. Does that mean now, in John 14, that the work of doing the works of the Father, that will stop? Or in John 17, does that mean that the work, the business of glorifying the Father, that will stop? The business of telling forth the Father's glories, that will stop? Because the Lord Jesus, who had perfectly done this, that he was going to heaven and would no longer be on earth, would that wonderful work stop? Well, of course not. But let's watch how this happens. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, the Lord Jesus indicates to his disciples, he says, "I'm about to leave. I'm going." And Thomas says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" The Lord Jesus replies to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You see, Thomas wanted to know where he was going, the destiny he was going to, and he wanted to know the way whereby he was going. Lord Jesus began to say to him, "It's not so much the destiny, I want to tell you about the person I'm going to. And it's not so much the way, the pathway, I want to tell you the means by which I'm going." So he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the way, he is the pathway to the Father. And secondly, it is the Father, it's not so much the place, it is the person who is there. And so the Lord Jesus was now going to him, and he says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." What does that mean? If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Well, while the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he was doing the works of the Father. He says, "From henceforth you know him and have seen him," says the Lord Jesus in verse 10. "Believest not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Don't you see it? The Father was working in the Son. And everything the Lord Jesus Christ did, it was directly the Father working through him and in him, so that he could say, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." But now he's going, he's leaving. Does that mean the works of the Father was going to cease when he left? No, no. So says the Lord Jesus. Verse 11. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." This was important. He wanted them to understand this. And then he makes this breathtaking statement in verse 12. I want you to pause and just allow this to sink down into your heart. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me," that takes you in today if you're saved. "He that believeth in me, that takes me in." The next statement is breathtaking. Says the Lord Jesus, "The works that I do, the works that I do, shall he do also." But let's not dilute this. Let's not minimize this. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, the works that I do shall he do also. And he adds, "Greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father." Well, what does it mean? It simply means this. When he says greater works than these shall he do, it doesn't mean to say we're going to do greater works than he is doing. But the idea is this, that greater works than these shall we do, because he's going to the Father. The idea is the Lord Jesus Christ is going to continue to do the works, but now from the vantage point, not of earth, but from the vantage point of heaven, but he has chosen how he's going to do it. He's doing it through you and through me. That's the idea. So he says, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, it's only in the measure in which we act in dependence upon him that he works through us. When we're acting in dependence upon him and in fellowship with him, then he can work through us and in us. And this brings me to verse 13 now. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will you do? No. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And he adds, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This brings me now to the subject matter of the prayer. What a wonderful prayer this is. Burdened and concerned with the works of the Father, burdened and concerned that the works of the Father should continue upon this earth, burdened and concerned that the Lord Jesus Christ should have free rein to work in my redeemed heart, I bow on my knees and I pray this prayer. Here it is. It comes with the promise that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. But what is the prayer? Here is the prayer. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. It is something like this. Father, glorify thyself. It's the Father being glorified here. Glorify thyself through thy Son working in me. Let me repeat. Here's the prayer. Father, glorify thyself through thy Son having free rein to work in my heart, to work in me. And the Lord Jesus adds, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now please, this is not free rein to ask for a bigger car or a bigger house or a better degree or anything like that. This isn't the idea at all. Let's look at the thing in context. This is in the immediate context of praying this prayer. Father, glorify thyself through thy Son working in me. May I say, if we as believers went away from this place and began to pray this prayer sincerely and in the secret place before him, this conference would be worthwhile. Says the Lord Jesus, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He will answer that and fulfill that in our lives. But we ask, is there anything in my life that could somehow impair his ability to work in me and through me? Well, of course there is. And he begins to outline those to us. And how can he possibly work through me and in me? Well, he's going to tell us. Well, one of them is verse 15 and 16. It is through the indwelling Spirit of God. So he tells us that the Comforter is sent. And he says the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And as a result of that, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God, if I love him, well then the Spirit of God will enable me to keep his commandments. And then there's another wonderful reason whereby he can do this. It is the wonderful power of his resurrection. Verse 19, yet a little while in the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Due to the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ living in our lives, this enables him to work through me and in me, provided I give him free rein and bow to the Lordship of Christ and give him free rein in every facet of my being. But look again. There is the Word of God. Verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And that he did when the Apostle sat down and wrote the Bible and wrote the New Testament. That is there for us. So we have the Spirit of God, the risen Lord Jesus in our hearts, and we have the Word of God, and then the prospect of his coming again. At the end of the chapter, I come again. These four wonderful things is that which empowers us to live for him, and so that the works of the Father continue to be wrought out in this world. Now, you don't have to do something dramatic, but just precisely where the Lord has placed you. It is his longing desire that he may be enabled to work through you and in you. Now, he could work through someone else, or he could work through some other means, but it has pleased him to use us in his service, and he's longing for us to pray this prayer, Father, glorify thyself through thy Son working in me. Well, in John's Gospel chapter 15, we find a very similar prayer. It is in verse number eight. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And he adds, "Herein is my Father glorified." Now, what is the prayer on this occasion? The prayer is simply, "Father, glorify thyself through me bearing fruit for thee." Now, may I suggest that in the secret place, we pray this prayer to him alone. I don't think this is public, this is private, personal, doing dealings with God. Just in that flush of love for him, wanting to do business with him. "Lord, glorify thyself through me bearing fruit for thee." So said the Lord Jesus, "So shall ye be my disciples." Well then, if we do pray this prayer, you know something? He will answer it, because he has promised that he will answer it. He will answer it. And I suggest that each of us should do just this. "Glorify thyself through me bearing fruit for thee." Well, if we look at this, we will not be surprised if we earn the attentions of the one who keeps the vineyard, the husbandman himself. And as we look at the different branches in John's Gospel chapter 15, we see different branches. In verse 2, we have a branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, I remember many years ago, a dear brother pointing out, and I've checked it out, and it's quite true, that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The idea is not taking away, the idea is lifting up. And I thought it was a very apt picture, because a vine, if the little clusters of grapes are lying down in the gutters and in the muck, maybe you don't know what gutters are in Vancouver. It's an Irish term. It means just the dirt, you know. And if the grapes are lying in that, well, then they'll rot. So what does the vine dresser do? He comes along and he gives it a wee lift up. Now, if we pray this prayer, "Father, glorify thyself through me bearing fruit for thee," you know what will happen? He may give us a wee lift up. Maybe that's why we're in the ministry today, at this conference, to get a little lift up away from the dirty, corrupt old world in which we move, and which will certainly hinder our fruit bearing for him. Now then, let's look at another branch. "And every branch that beareth fruit," this branch is doing well, it's bearing fruit for God. Christ-likeness in the life of the believer, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, all these lovely fruits of the Spirit are all being seen in this person. And what does he do? The Father comes along with the hook, with the pruning hook, and he starts to purge it. All because that person has prayed, "Father, glorify thyself through me bearing fruit for thee." He may purge us if we pray this prayer. Does he do it? Yes, he does. Does that mean he's disciplining us? No, it doesn't. It means he's simply wanting us to bear more fruit for him. We saw earlier today how the believers are sometimes called to pass through deep waters, sicknesses and illnesses and difficulties and trials, not of their own making, of any shape or form. What's happening? The Father wants to bring something more for himself. And perhaps if we pray this prayer, you know something? More fruit will emerge. But it may be difficult, the pathway, but the Father will gently do it, so gently, so deftly, so skillfully. He prunes the branch so that more fruit may emerge if we pray this prayer. Now let's look again. So here's a branch of which the Father is doing all this to prune us. And you don't want to stop us becoming entangled with the affairs of this life and with the things of this world, which will drag us down. So sometimes there needs to be a little pruning take place to disconnect us from those things outside which will distract, to enable us to bear more fruit. Now the key to it is in verse 4. He says, "Abide in me and I in you." Now abiding, you don't have to go up, you don't have to go down, you don't have to go to the right, you don't have to go to the left. You simply stay where you are. The Lord Jesus, or the Father, has placed us in the vine. Every one of us who are saved, we are in the vine and we abide in him. And that simply means that the nutrition, the nourishment that we get and we enjoy, and that which we feed upon, where do we get that? We get that from the central branch, from the central stem. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the vine. We are the branches. We are the branches." The Lord Jesus is the vine, and he is supporting us. And out of the vine comes us, the little branches, and we derive all our sustenance and all our nourishment from him. Now here's a key to it. If we are going to bear fruit for him, and as we pray this prayer, you know something we will discover? That we must abide in him. All the nourishment and all support which alone he can provide, abiding in him, that is wherein we will get it. What do we do with our spare time? Reading the word, meditating upon himself, feasting our souls on the glorious, wondrous person of Christ, reading through those Old Testament passages, tracing out the pictures and types of himself, that's what it is to abide in him. And as you do so, you know what will happen? You'll start to bear fruit, and more fruit at that. There's a branch here which troubles people. It's in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I would like just to say a wee word here just on the way through, that a believer cannot possibly lose his salvation. That is impossible. Once saved, always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. So what kind of branch is this? Here's a branch. It's not abiding in him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now, I was reading through in Isaiah one time and I suddenly spotted a wee thing. You remember how that Lucifer is cast forth as a branch, a counterfeit branch. Lord Jesus, he is the branch in the Old Testament, but Lucifer is seen as a counterfeit, as a branch. He's not the real thing, but counterfeit. And I believe this is what we have here. This isn't a true branch. It's very like one. It's as a branch. So, of course, John expects us to understand the book of Isaiah that this is a counterfeit. It never was really attached onto the vine. It's not alive. It just happens to be there. But it's not attached to the vine. It's as a branch. And that's what happens to the man who's constantly not abiding in him. Constantly not abiding, deriving his nourishment, his sustenance, and so on. He's not getting it from Christ. He's getting it from somewhere else, but not from him. He's not abiding in the branch. It's not that he's lost his salvation. It's simply that he needs to be saved. And that is the issue here. He's withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now let's come now to the prayer. Father, glorify thyself through me, bearing much fruit. Not bearing fruit, bearing much fruit. Wouldn't that be lovely? Bearing much fruit. We may be bearing fruit. Would it be nice if we asked the Lord, Lord, glorify thyself through me, bearing much fruit. There may be a little pruning needed, but Lord, I'm willing to undergo that to bear more fruit for thee, because the Lord Jesus is worthy of it all. Wouldn't that be a lovely prayer to pray in the secret place? Well, as we continue to move down through the passage, we discover that he's going to indicate things which could somehow impede my ability to bear fruit for him. And one of them is, and he brings it before us, verse 12, it is if we fail to love one another. Now, if I'm going to seek to bear fruit for him, and I'm not capable of loving my brother, can I tell you something? My fruit bearing is absolutely halted. There'll be no more fruit in my life. I'll wither up. Now, the Lord Jesus is going to indicate the importance of this, and he keeps repeating this refrain that you love one another, and he gives us the standard, as I have loved you. What a standard. But that is the standard, as I have loved you. That's unconditional. That's without any argument. That is unconditional, and that's not loving me for what I am, but loving me despite what I am. Not loving me for who I am, but loving me for whose I am. That's the idea. And thus I should love you for whose you are, not for who you are, and not for what you are, but despite what you are. That's the unconditional agape love of Christ, and that's what he's asked us to do here, if we are to become fruitful for him. Now he goes on to give us some reasons. He says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Isn't that precious? That brother that perhaps I struggle to love, says the Lord Jesus, that brother, he's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. A number of months ago, I found myself in an interesting situation in a country where run by a dictator, and at the airport they held onto my passport, and I was taken through customs and everything by this gentleman who took me right through, and that night I ended up had a meal with the personal physician of the dictator. Now, I'll not tell you where it was, but I could tell you afterwards. And that evening, as I had the meal with this gentleman, you can imagine that I was on my best behavior. Why was that? Because this man was a friend of the ruler of the country. A friend of the ruler of the country. It's a very poor example, isn't it? That brother that I possibly can't get on well with, he's a friend of Christ, and the Lord Jesus is a friend of his. Wouldn't that change my perspectives a great deal in how I think of my brother? I think that might help me to go to make it right with him, and moreover, that may start me bearing fruit in my life once again. But let's look again. The Lord Jesus indicates that if I fail to love one another, you know, to love my brother, you know where that places me? In the position of being in the world. Because he says, if the world hate you, you see that brother over there that I can't get along with? The world hates him. Why does the world hate him? The world hates him because he's linked with Christ. Why therefore should not I love him despite all his limitations? That's the idea. So the Lord Jesus is now giving us the key now to fruit-bearing, to effective, triumphant Christian living. And it boils down now to something as practical as obeying him in the matter of loving one another. Now, let's move now to the prayer of Lord Jesus himself in John's Gospel, chapter 17. This is not so much the do of working his works or bearing fruit for him. This is now the lovely theme of glorifying the Father. Now, while, as I've indicated to you, the Lord Jesus was on earth, he glorified the Father through making the Father known to his own. And in verses 6, 7, and 8, he tells us how he did just that. Verse 8, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. They have received them. And these are all a progression of thought. And they have known surely, and eventually they have believed that thou didst send me. They accepted the whole thing. The Lord Jesus made the Father known to them. They accepted that. And now the Lord Jesus was praying for them. And he prays for them in a very beautiful way. Amazing statement in verse 10. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. I am glorified in them. I think this is breathtaking to think that the Lord Jesus Christ, surrounded by glory in heaven, and all those angelic beings, and in the rainbow circle throne, that he looks down on this little meeting today, and he looks at us and he says, I am glorified in them. Is that what it says? Yes, that's what it says. To think that you and I somehow can bring glory to him, that's what it's all about, and that's what he's praying for. And if that's what he's praying for, and if that was so real to him ere he went to the cross to die for us and then ascend to God's right hand, how much more then tonight should this be, this evening should this be something very, very precious to us? Well then, he says, I come to thee. I'm no longer with them. I'm coming to thee. And he says, I'm going to be glorified now in them. What's the idea? The point is, he's going to the Father now. Now the work of doing the glorification is now devolved to us. We now glorify him. How does this work? Just as the Lord Jesus Christ took of the things of the Father and revealed them to his own, now we take of the things of Christ and we tell of him to others who know him not. That's the measure in which we glorify him. We tell others of him. Or the idea is we make him known to others. And as we make him known to others, they will receive eternal life, which is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. But there are certain things, of course, which could militate against our ability to glorify him in this wonderful way. What is it? Well, it's back to the same theme. If we don't love one another, or if we do not have unity one with each other. So says the Lord Jesus, he prays for them that they may be one. What's the second thing that could militate against this? If we get distracted by this evil world. So he prays for us in this world that he might keep us from the evil. So what is the solution to this? It is his word. He says, my word is truth. And the truth of God, the truth of God in the scriptures, it is that which will sanctify us. And then he adds, I'm going to heaven. I've set myself apart. For this cause sanctify I myself. So he's gone now to heaven. He's setting himself apart in heaven. And sanctification has to do with priesthood. While on earth he was not a priest. We discover that from the epistle to the Hebrews. But now in heaven he is there as our great high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And when the Father glorified him, that meant he seated him in glory in heaven. There he is as our priest, set apart, sanctified as our priest. And now he says, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven as our great high priest. And there he is. And we, still on earth, are set apart in priestly ministry, presenting our praise to the Father through him. And that is us functioning as priests. And we are sanctified in this matter through the truth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to the Father and gone right to heaven. And in this matter of ourselves being sanctified as priests, in this matter we glorify him. Now how does this work out? When I pray to the Father through the Son, just as Aaron the priest of old received his portion from the sacrifice as he presented that to Jehovah, we, when we pray to the Father through the Son, He, our Lord Jesus, as he presents our praise to the Father, he receives his portion. And just as Aaron, we discover in Hebrews 5, considered that to be an honour, similarly the Lord Jesus Christ considered it an honour and glory to take our praise and present that to the Father. How much do we rob him of glory by not going to the prayer meeting, by not pouring out our hearts in praise to him? As he takes that and presents that, we pray and praise with imperfection. When he takes it and presents it to the Father, there is no imperfection. And as he does that, he is glorified and considers that an honour, according to Hebrews 5. If my heart is silent and cold, I am robbing him of glory. Well, let's look just towards the end of the section there. He's praying not just for his own beloved disciples, but for them also which shall believe in them through their word. That's us, that's Gentiles. Saved and brought into the church of God. He's praying for us. And he's praying that we may be one. And I trust that this marks us in our assembly wherever we are found. And then he adds, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What is the glory which God gave him? The glory which God gave him was when he ascended to God's right hand. Now, says the Lord Jesus, the glory which I have given them, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. But you say, we are not yet at God's right hand. I know we are not. But you know something? We have access right to the throne. Absolutely, through Christ. Right past the angelic beings, right to the throne, there to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a breathtaking thing that thought that is. Prayer. The prayer, the powerhouse, someone referred to it, I believe Brother Norman referred to it as. This is something very special. Access to the throne. Think of the glory of that. But then, in a future day, says the Lord Jesus, there's coming a day when I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And then he adds, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. There's coming a day when we, with our raised from the dead and bodies fashioned like unto his body of glory, are going to behold him in his body of glory in heaven. And the Lord Jesus has requested that they may behold his full orbed, that we may behold that full orbed glory, that glory which is going to fill the world at his parousia with fear and dread, is going to fill us with joy. The glory which the Father gave him before the foundation of the world, we're going to behold him, we're going to see him as he is. And what's he going to do? Well, I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to simply continue to do what he did on earth. And what's that? Verse 26, I have declared unto them, or I have made known thy name, but I will make it known. I will make it known. You know what he's going to do? Throughout eternity. As the ages of eternity roll on and on and on, as we look into the blessed face of our Lord Jesus, he's going to take the things of the Father and continue to make the Father known unto us. I think that's breathtaking. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that eternal state when we're going to be with him as he takes of the things of the Father and makes them known unto us. Remember what that is as he makes him known to us? This is the ongoing eternal life which we tasted today and shall continue eternally, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We've come a long way, haven't we? From when we were in our unsaved state and we thought God was an austere man like the man in Luke 19, we've come to know him, the wonder of his purpose for us, the place where he is destined for us, and to be with Christ, and to think of this, the love for which thou hast loved me. Yes, the love for which the Father has loved the Son, he's placed in our own hearts so that we can love him with the same intensity with which the Father loves him as well. Why does the Father love him? Well, he tells us, here and therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. Why do we love him? Because he died for us. And that's why when we see him, we'll sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.